Question. Question number one. Question. What is it that a newborn baby needs and craves for the nourishment of its body? Milk. Ding, ding, ding. You are right. Milk. It really does do a body good, doesn't it? In fact, I'm not going to drink it. He's drinking it down there. That's good. We have milk here. There's lots of studies that have been done, and you're probably aware of some of those, that show the excellent effects that a mother's milk has on a baby. It's got all the perfect nutritional substances. It's got all the amino acids. It's got all the bacteria-blocking thingamawats. All this stuff, and it helps the baby to grow and mature in its development. And compared to an infant that's not fed its mother's milk, the baby that is statistically, it has a lower chance, they want their milk. It has a lower chance of going to the hospital for infections, for rashes, for allergies, and everything else. It's quite obvious that milk for a baby is hugely important. However, if you're 30 years old and you're still on the same diet that you had when you were an infant, something is very, very wrong. Would you agree? Might need some psychiatric help. As a person grows, they move from their mother's milk and they require something of substance, something of real food, something solid, rich, and nutritious, like meat. We move from milk to meat in our spiritual lives and in our physical lives. Am I making you hungry? Just put it on the grill and put some barbecue sauce. All right. So, the Bible calls new Christians in the faith infants. And if you've recently been born again and you're a spiritual baby, that's what you're called. You're a spiritual baby. And that's okay. It's okay to be a spiritual baby. You need to grow and learn from there. As a new believer, though, a baby Christian, the person begins to drink that spiritual milk. In fact, Peter says that we should crave pure spiritual milk so that by it we may grow up in our salvation. We should be craving that milk. So what is spiritual milk? What does that mean? What Peter meant was that spiritual milk is the Word of God. It's the Bible. He wants us to hunger after knowing God, to go through these pages and read them and have a growing relationship with God, to mature and grow in our faith. And Paul makes the point that wanting spiritual milk is a great start. That's super. But, and though it's awesome to begin that Christian walk with your relationship with God, what he also tells us is that we need to move forward from that spiritual milk. We can't just drink that all our life. We need to have something of substance. We need to mature, and we need to keep growing in our relationship with God. We need to keep growing in the faith, not just drinking the beginner's milk, so to speak. And so as we grow, we're able to digest this solid food, this new substance, more and more solid food, maybe more difficult things to understand in the Bible, difficult things going on around us that perhaps a Christian baby isn't quite ready for. And so, I want to tell you to not just remain a spiritual baby. Don't be a baby. Don't remain a spiritual baby. We need to grow. We need to mature. We need to dig into God's Word. Take the things that we're taught, the things that are preached, and we need to apply them to our life. That's what gathering here is about. The chorus of one song puts it this way. We gotta grow. We can't stay in the same place. We gotta grow. We gotta be seeking His face. We gotta grow So if you've been saved and you've been pardoned, we got to grow. You're not done. You're just getting started. We have to move from that milk to the solid food. It's only the beginning, and then we spend the rest of our lives growing and maturing and eating that solid food. I want to tell you a true story that I read about a cat, all right? The mom cat was trying to wean her kittens off of her milk. She was trying to help them to become adults, to grow and mature, and not just keep coming to her, to become adult cats. However, one of the kittens wasn't quite getting it. They didn't quite understand. And so it continued to try to get milk from its mom again and again and again. So this continued, and one morning, the kitten came to the mom cat to nurse it. And the mom tried to avoid the kitten, give it some hints, turn its back, and kind of walk away a little bit, but the kitten kept following, and it kept trying to get its mother's milk. It kept persisting and persisting and persisting until the cat turned around and whacked the kitten upside its head. It whacked him upside its head. Little furry head, poor thing. But it was communicating, the mom cat was communicating the lesson that it's time to move on. And the cat finally got it. The author wrote that the kitten finally seemed to understand. It turned, went to its food dish and milk bowl, and had its fill. And so it no longer needed the mom cat, but she had to whack him upside the head for it to figure it out. Now, I'm not suggesting that you need to smack one another, but I am saying that the mama cat, like the mama cat, helped to instruct its kitten to grow and mature, so the church is called to help the believer grow and mature to go from milk to solid food. Michael's been talking about the purposes of the church, purposes like worship, evangelism, and today what I want to focus on is edification, which is a big fancy word. The original word for edification literally means to build a house. It means to build a house. You may have heard a building called an edifice. That's where they get it from, to edify, an edifice. But it came to be used metaphorically in the Bible a lot as to build up people as we build each other up. For example, a bodybuilder. A bodybuilder works and exercises and pumps and eats the right food and trains day after day after day, getting its muscles to look like mine. Maybe not. From the laughter. But bodybuilder, they get built up. And just like that, just like the house, when the Bible says to edify, we are building each other up. You can picture that. I think in your notes I have a little picture of a bodybuilder. I'm very visual, so I try to give that to you. So when the Bible says edify, you could put in there, in place of that, things like educate, instruct, teach, train, guide, cultivate, encourage, develop, improve, better. All these different things have to do with edifying each other and the church. So one of the purposes of the church is to build each other up, like the bodybuilder. But how do we do that? How do we build up the church? Do we just meet on Sundays and hang out? No, no, it's about much more than that. Eric read from Ephesians 4. Thank you, neighbor. And I'll read it again from the New Living Translation. Ephesians 4. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We'll have that solid food, right? We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching, We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Amen. A couple things from this passage. Why are we building each other up? Verse 13. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we would be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So why do we build each other up? Well, to have unity in the faith, to learn more about God's Son, to have this knowledge of what he did for us, to be mature in the Lord, and it says to measure up to the full and complete standard of Christ, to become more and more like Christ every single day. Christian, what does it literally mean? Christ-like, or little Christ. We are little Christs in our everyday life. We're becoming more and more like Christ. In verse 16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's the goal. That's the goal. And we're all in this together. Christianity, it isn't a spectator sport. You don't just sit there and watch from the sidelines. We're all working together to build each other up in the church. We need to get out of our seats and actively serve God, the God of the universe. What a privilege that is. He created us. He created everything. And we get to serve him. All right. So, we know why. We know what it is. But how? What are some ways that we can build each other up? Well, verses 11 and 12, that same. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So some ways are to preach, like this. Some ways are to teach in all the different classrooms we have. And not only on Sundays, Wednesday nights, if you do small groups, if you just get together for lunch and you're learning these different things. Other ways, prophets, to evangelize and to tell other people about the Bible, helping to move people from spiritual milk to meat, to the real solid foods. How else? Well, by loving one another. Another way that we can build each other up is to love one another. 1 Corinthians says, but while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. So knowledge can make people feel arrogant, but love builds people up. Love promotes construction instead of destruction. It builds up rather than tears down. So by loving one another, that's one way. Other ways, another way is we can encourage one another. Encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians says, so encourage each other and build each other up. There it is again. Edify, build each other up. The word for encourage literally means to call alongside. And it conveys the idea of taking someone on your side, placing an arm around them, like so, and comforting, cheering, encouraging them in some way. And hopefully you'll do that. Preferably with a real person and not with an imaginary friend. But you wrap your arm around somebody and you encourage them. Encouraging one another. Also, we can build each other up or tear each other down by the words that we say. Definitely. Ephesians states, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Our words are crucial. Our words are so important. The Bible says our tongue is like a double-edged sword. We can do such amazing good things with it, Or we can rip people down. We can do all this abusive language and just tear people down. So the words that we say. Another way to build each other up is to be a positive example to one another. A positive example to each other. 1 Corinthians says, "You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial." Literally, not everything edifies. Not everything is beneficial. "Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. You are observed by other people every single day." They're watching you. When you say that you're a Christian, people watch. People in the church, people at your work, people everywhere watch for you to mess up. Watch to see if you're really living like Christ, if you're really following this Jesus. So your example will impact the lives of other people, either positively or negatively. The things that you do, the actions, they impact people. Think about these things. We don't just do things to do things, but the things that we do, it creates this, the people around us, you know. Everything that we do, the people around us get that vibe from us. And they see whether we're positive or negative, whether we're building each other up or tearing each other down. And this one is a tough one. Another way that we can build each other up is, when needed, be firm with each other. When needed, be firm with each other. Paul writes, "But our authority builds you up. It doesn't tear you down. So I will not be ashamed of using my authority." If someone within the church is doing something or has a certain attitude that is sinful or destructive to themselves or to others, it's not easy, but it is important that they be approached in love so that their destructive behavior can be changed, because it affects the whole body. If you're approaching them in the spirit of love, of concern, and a desire for repentance and continued following of Christ, this can be an act of edification, of building each other up. In 2 Corinthians 7, Paul writes, "I am not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you, though I was sorry at first, for I know it was painful to you for a little while." Verse 9. "Now I am glad I sent it, not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have, so you were not harmed by us in any way. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death." So you see the difference? We're encouraging people, sometimes being firm, but bringing them back along the right path, helping them to find repentance, helping them to even feel sorrow for what they've done, but move back into following Christ. Not like worldly sorrow, not just putting people down, but building them up. We're building each other up. We're strengthening each other. So Paul was building them up and helping them get back on the right track when they were going astray. Another way to edify, to build each other up, is by using our spiritual gifts for one another. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "Since you are so eager to have the special abilities the Spirit gives, seek those abilities that will strengthen the whole church." Every Christian has been given a spiritual ability from God, whether you think it's great or small. They're all important, not just the people up front. But we're all given a spiritual ability from God for the purpose of building up the church body. We need to exercise those abilities. and do what God has gifted us to do. How awful would it be if we were given an ability, let's say, Superman. Superman has all these abilities. What if he just stayed on the farm, on the Kent farm, for the rest of his life and baled hay? He's not using these incredible gifts that he was given. We have such incredible gifts that God gives to us that we can use to do great things and build each other up. We need to exercise those abilities. Also, we can build each other up by speaking God's word to one another. Speaking God's word to one another. Again, Paul writes, "But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church." What is prophecy? That's kind of a strange word. What is prophecy? Prophecy is speaking the word or message of God for a particular circumstance or time. If you really want to get into it, you can talk about foretelling or forthtelling. Foretelling, predicting things in the future, which we see many examples of in the Bible, or forthtelling, God giving a divine message to somebody to share with the church and build each other up. There are different views on prophecy, but I do know this, that speaking God's words and telling others about the things in the Bible that God has done for us and Jesus does a tremendous job of building each other up. Some people, they put little verses on their refrigerator. Some people, when they go into their email, every day they have a devotion of a Bible verse. It builds us up. It encourages us. It gives us hope. And we need to share that with others. And the last way I'm going to mention that we can build each other up is to promote peace with one another. Promote peace with one another. Peace. Romans tells us, "So then, let us aim for harmony and peace in the church and try to build each other up." Let's aim for harmony and peace. There's so many destructive things that can tear us down, but we need to aim for peace, harmony. When there's peace in the body of Christ, there will be many, many different kinds of growth. When the church gathers together, Paul gives us this one simple rule. All these things must aim at one thing, to build up the church. Paul gives one simple rule. All these things must aim at one thing, to build up the church. It is one of the main purposes why we're here, on Sunday mornings. And why we unite with each other. First Peter 2, from the Message, says, "Welcome to the living stone," that's Jesus, "the source of life. The workmen took one look and threw it out. God set it in the place of honor. Present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life, in which you'll serve as holy priests, offering Christ-approved lives up to God." So the scripture tells us that we as Christians are building blocks. We are bricks. We are stones that are being used to build a temple made alive with the presence of God. You're a brick, I'm a brick. Not a brick head, a brick. We are used to build up the temple of God. So our lives are like a brick. What will you live your life for? In a way that builds up Christ and His church? Will you really and truly love those around you? Will you encourage and build up others, followers of Christ? Will you be a positive example to follow? Will you be lovingly firm with each other, encouraging others to stay on the right path that honors God? Will you speak the word of God into other people's lives? Will you encourage peace within the church? As we build each other up and the body of Christ, brick by brick, something starts to happen. We become a strong, a unified temple of God, each contributing to the whole, and we strengthen each other in all we do, and more, following in the life that Jesus has called us to live. However, we must be very careful, because it can be much easier to destroy a building than it is to build it. You know that. When we let uncontrolled emotions run wild, like contention, and jealousy, and gossip, angry speech, selfish ambition, wrong actions, greed, hate, it can destroy and tear down the bricks that we have made. It can destroy everything we've worked so hard to build. So on all the things that you do, build each other up. Don't let things destroy the temple that we have made. Don't let greed and hate and wrong actions tear it down. And all that you do, may you aim at one thing: to build up the church.
Meeting in unity, room number 225. Let's stand.
Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity today to encourage each other and to build each other up, much more than just saying hi on a Sunday morning. I pray that we would follow your word, follow what it has for our lives, that we would build each other up in all these many things and strengthen each other and every day live out our lives holy and pleasing to you, Father. In your Son's precious name, amen.